On Wednesday morning this week, Lexington's garbage trucks rolled out at 4:30 in the morning. Not because of a holiday, because the city had flipped a switch most residents have never heard of. Phase one of the heat plan.
Community centers became cooling stations. Outreach teams went out with water. The buses started carrying people to air conditioning for free. And by Thursday night, the heat had broken, which makes this the perfect week to look under the hood.
Because the machine worked this time. The question is how it works, who it's built for, and what the city still hasn't built. From the Lexington Times, this is Town Branch, the stories running under Lexington. I'm Kay.
And I'm Pete. So, the heat plan. Lexington has a formal document for this. The Extreme Heat Incident Specific Plan, run by the city's Emergency Management Division and updated in 2024. We read it. It's a ladder with three rungs.
Phase one, what triggered this week, kicks in when the heat index is expected to reach 95 degrees or when the Weather Service issues a heat advisory. That opens cooling sites, sends outreach teams out, and shifts city work like trash collection to the coolest hours.
Phase two arrives with an extreme heat watch. That's when it gets broader. Emergency alerts go out, 311 becomes the heat information line, the pools discount admission, and the free bus rides extend to everyone, not just people experiencing homelessness.
Phase three is the real emergency, an extreme heat warning expected to last three or more days. More centers open, and the county's Emergency Operations Center can stand up. This week never got past phase one. The heat index brushed 95 for 2 days and moved on.
Here's the detail in the plan we found genuinely impressive. The part about turning the system off. There's no automatic shutoff for phase one, and the higher phases only stand down when the two-day forecast clears the thresholds. The plan says why, in writing, prematurely halting heat responses, quote, has been shown to be associated with additional deaths.
Because the deadly part of a heat wave is often the back end of it. Homes that have been baking for days, bodies that have been under stress, the day after everyone relaxes. The plan is built to be slow to declare victory. That's not bureaucracy, that's the literature.
And the Federal Weather Service framing the city uses is worth keeping in your head all summer. Extreme heat has caused more deaths than any other kind of weather event. Nationally, heat sends about 120,000 Americans to emergency rooms a year, and the death toll has been running around 2,000. It doesn't get hurricane coverage because it doesn't take the roof off. It just quietly takes people.
Who, specifically? The plan names them. Infants and small children, the elderly, people with chronic or mental illness, outdoor workers, and people without housing. People whose bodies regulate heat poorly or whose circumstances leave them in it all day. Heat risk isn't really a weather story. It's a story about who has air conditioning, who works outside, and who lives alone.
Which brings us to geography, because heat is not evenly distributed inside a city. Pavement and rooftops hold heat, trees shed it. Lexington's own canopy assessment says the city is 23% tree cover and 40% pavement and rooftop. And nearly 3/4 of the tree canopy we do have sits on private land. The city can't plan its way to shade on public property alone.
Now here's the gap. Dozens of American cities have run street-level heat mapping campaigns. Volunteers with sensors, one hot day, a federal program coordinates it, producing block-by-block maps of exactly where the heat island burns hottest. We check the campaign rosters going back years. Lexington has never done one, as far as we and the federal lists can tell.
So when the city opens cooling centers, it's navigating by intuition. Older neighborhoods, less shade, probably hotter. Probably right. But there is no measured map of which Lexington blocks run 10 degrees hotter than the leafy ones. Other cities have that map. Ours hasn't been drawn.
The FAIR scorecard, then. What Lexington has. A real plan, recently updated, with evidence-based triggers and a deliberately slow shutoff. A network of cooling sites with partners across the city, free transit to reach them, and a stated goal of growing the canopy toward 30% over the next decade or so.
What it doesn't have, the heat map, a measured baseline, and much cooling infrastructure beyond extending rec center hours. The plan is good triage. The prevention side, shade, surfaces, knowing where the hot blocks are, is thinner.
And now the part of this episode to actually write down. The one number. Dial 211 or text your zip code to 898-211. And United Way routes you to every heat resource in the city. When the plan activates, the community centers at Kenwick, Dunbar, Tates Creek, and Castlewood run as cooling sites into the early evening. Day centers like New Life on Martin Luther King and New Vista on Mechanic Street open their doors. And the buses are free to get there for anyone without housing.
This weekend, you won't need any of it. The forecast says highs in the 80s. The first activation of the summer is over. But it's June. The ladder will get climbed again.
That's Town Branch. The full heat plan, the canopy assessment, and the cooling site list are linked in the show notes. And the oldest advice is still the best the plan offers. When it's dangerous out, check on a neighbor.
Town Branch is produced by the Lexington Times. Our voices are synthetic, and our scripts are drafted with AI from Lexington Times reporting and the public record, then fact-checked before air. Sources for every episode at feeds.lexingtonky.news/podcast. We'll see you down the creek.